We put this festival on, you bastards, with a lot of love. We work for 1 year for you pigs. And you want to break our walls down? And you want to destroy it? Well, you go to hell.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Fat Back Four. I'm Gav as usual. Grizz is here, Matt is here, Ian is here, all the lads. 2 weeks in a row, we're doing great. Straight into it, Liverpool 4, West Ham 1. Really comprehensive performance. Ian, straight to you as usual. The lineup changes again. And we're back to this centre half thing again. Lovren talks during the week about how he has a great relationship already with Van Dijk and then doesn't play. The midfield is a little bit of a surprise, I think, to people, but and then the front three are just what did you make of it, Ian? I know you were happy about it because you always are, but what did you make of it?
Of the starting 11?
Yeah.
I'm all right with it. You're gonna have to mix these questions up because I say the same thing every week.
I know, yeah. But I just like hearing your voice.
I think Trent's playing really well at the minute. So Gomez has been fit for a couple of weeks, hasn't he? Playing for the under-23s today. But I think Trent's the number one right back at the minute because he's improved his defending as well. So I wasn't surprised by that. Robertson's been outstanding, so there's no way Moreno was getting in ahead of him unless he's resting Robertson. Milner was tremendous in midweek or against Porto. Hang on. It was the last game, Milner?
Yeah, Porto, wasn't it?
He had grizzlitis there for a second.
It's catching. So I'm not surprised he started. Ox was due a game. Mate, the midfield three will never surprise me. I don't think he'll ever play two holding midfielders at home to a side like West Ham, though. So I'm not surprised Ox started and the front three, just the front three, aren't he? So no surprises.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought it was definitely a game for Trent because it's one of those where you're going to have teams sitting back and he suits it. It'll be interesting to see when we play, not Newcastle, but United away. It'll be interesting to see where he goes at Roy Full in particular. Matt,
they won't sack anyway, so it won't matter.
Matt, ever positive, Matt. Matt, you never told us this weekend we were going to smash these. That's because you were back on the drink and you started ignoring us again. and fair play to you for it. Were you happy with the starting 11? Was there anything you would have changed? No, I know it's in hindsight, but was there anything you would have changed when you'd seen it?
Do you know what? I've absolutely just stopped caring about what Klopp picks. He's proved me wrong so many times, made us all look dickheads. Like, any time up until about the end of December, I might have been given out about Milner in midfield. Why is he putting in him? Blah, blah. Now I'm just like, I see Milner and think, all right, fair one, Klopp. So many times we've tried to call him out and he's just made us all look idiots. So I don't even, like, it doesn't register as a thought anymore in that type of way, if you know what I mean. Like, I try and look at what he's trying to do with the team and with the players. Like, he obviously wanted energy in midfield and that's where I saw it. I try and do it that way instead of having a gripe about anyone starting.
Yeah, no worries.
Do you know when he ain't the right for no one to ever question his team selections ever again? Is when we played three at the back and he played Wijnaldum and Chan in a back three.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was mental.
He fucked us all over. I can't even remember who we played.
Who was that?
Brighton away.
Was it Brighton?
We were brilliant. And that day was just a massive fuck you to all the people who think they know better. So.
It wasn't even that. It was just a case of, I don't care. And I'll do what I fucking like, whether he's like or not. And I suppose that's what he's there for. That's what he's being paid for. Grizz, the lads are, well, happy and not really caring about the starting 11. I just want to just on touch on the midfield. With West Ham, we're probably going to come out, they did 5-4-1 kind of formation. Were you a little bit worried with, say, Milner and Shan there? You know, not two holding midfielders, but not the two most creative. Although I thought Shan was quite good in what he created yesterday.
Yeah, I'm more honest than the other two. I was worried, like, you know, they say they weren't worried, but I was slightly worried, especially with, again, it's that thing about West Ham going to park the bus and, you know, that creativity factor always kind of just always lurking in the back of my head. But you know, the guy Jurgen Klopp, when I say the guy, always, as he said, proves us wrong, and so we just give up trying to work him out and sort of work out how he's going to go. And he worked a treat. I mean, Milner on form, he's probably our best player, best midfielder at the moment. So I thought it would have been harsh dropping him anyway. I thought Milner on his last two performances has been absolutely spot on. So he you know, it would have been very harsh to drop him. Emre was suspended for the last game, wasn't he? Yeah. So yeah, I kind of expected him to come back in sort of high energy. Hendo's the one who missed out this time, didn't he? So we don't know. We're not sure. Was that injury related? I don't think it was. I think it was just sort of rotation, wasn't it? Henderson was on the subs bench, so he couldn't have been injured. It was just just rotation. So he's got a nice blend there, as Ian says. He's got a nice. The most important thing is he's got all those midfielders knowing their roles really precisely, and that's really impressive. Really impressive at the moment.
Yeah, he makes.
When was the last time he played the same team twice?
Great question.
I can't remember. Yeah, it's mad, isn't it?
Yeah,
Greg, up until a couple of games ago, I don't know what's changed, but he'd made the most changes in the Premier League.
Oh, listen, Ian, there's no one going even close to catching him. He was a country mile ahead of people. But he commented after the game, Klopp. He was asked about, you know, the players that he had there. He brought Solanke on, and a couple of other players were mentioned. And his comments were, look, we can't do this as an 11. We can't do this as a 14. We have to do this as an 18, 19, 20-man squad. And he went out of his way to point it out that, yeah, these lads are only getting on for a couple of minutes here and there, but they're needed. They're badly needed, and they need to be ready, because between now and what, a possible 13, 14 games left in the season, they could be called upon at any stage, because I think he knows he's been fairly lucky with injuries to key men, and he will need them. Go on, Grizz.
Just a quick one. You know, but did you notice in the press conference he said we're gonna rotate far less? Did any of you see that? And he said, like, near enough, it's gonna be my strong. He hinted that it's gonna be his strongest team every week. He's still playing mind games with the media and the press and everything, because, again, yeah, I mean, as Matt says, he's still rotating, even though he said we're going to be rotating far, far less now, he said, after the...
Klopp's a liar. Don't believe a word, he said.
Yeah, he's a liar.
He's tricking us all.
Love it.
But good, he's learned from last season as well.
Yeah, he has definitely learned, yeah.
Christmas and January last season, we just fell off, and we played about 13 players for the first half, maybe more. Obviously, I'm overreacting a little bit there, but... He's massively
learned. We played nine players for the first half of the season.
Was it nine, sound?
And like, what is the difference between a country mile and a normal mile?
Oh, a country mile is a lot longer. If you're in Ireland, and you know you're down in the country part of it, which will be outside of Dublin, outside this big city, they'll say country mile. And basically, if someone says it's 2 miles,
it's like
down
3 miles.
That way. Yeah, if you say it's 2 miles down the road, it's probably more than 5. So that's where that comes from.
Thanks for that, teacher.
No problem at all. Thanks for the question. Come again next week.
Knowledge.
Lame power. We nearly get the dream start, don't we? 2 minutes on the clock. A lovely ball by Milner down the side. Firmino, lovely touch to Salah. He steadies himself. And I think it's a decent save, isn't it, by your man's name?
Yeah, he gets a touch.
Adrian, is it?
I mean, if I'm totally honest, my stream didn't kick in until about 30 seconds after that effort. but according to Twitter, he hit the post.
Yeah, no, that did happen.
I read that he got a touch on it.
Yeah,
but that a goal against a team like West Ham or a team similar to that, a goal in the first 5 minutes is an absolute dream, do you know what I mean? So a bit unlucky, but the mentality of the side seems to be slowly changing where they're not panicking, do you know what I mean? Even when they, and we'll get onto it, but even when they pulled the goal back a couple of weeks back, we would have started shaking all over the show, and we just went back up the other end and started pressuring them again. So I think
didn't even panic watching.
Yeah, exactly. I think
I was pissed, but I didn't panic.
It's VVD, I'm telling you, it's VVD.
And Robertson and Karius.
Yeah, I think it's.
They've all got better because of VVD.
Yeah, I think Van Dijk is a big influence on it. But I think overall the whole thing seems to be, lads, when we panic, we seem to shoot ourselves in the foot. So let's try not panic, and the chances are we do all right. Matt, from like the second minute on, you see Salah has that chance, and he's so cool. Like his body's like fucking flying around the place, and he just takes his touch, and he's unlucky. It's a good save, but from there on in, like I know we talk about him every week, but the panic in the West Ham defense when Salah was within 20 yards of the ball was fucking hilarious at times. They were just lashing things out for corners, and they were doing anything to keep it away from him, weren't they? And I suppose, well, we don't panic, everyone else, all the other teams seem to panic now. It's like role reversal, isn't it, Neil?
It is. No, you're right, he's got this aura about him. It's like, it's the same with Suarez. But it's not just him. People are now recognising how good a player Bobby Firmino is. Do you know what I mean? They know he can create or score or assist from any situation around that box, and they know all three of them. So they may be shitting themselves about Salah, but they know they've got Mane running down the side. They've got Bobby Firmino doing a madness down the middle. And then we've got these two unbelievably attacking fullbacks, which are just causing absolute havoc. I mean, we know we've always struggled against deep-lying teams in the past, but what these two give you, and what we've always had to do to get past it and we've never been able to, is get to the byline, get their defenders turning around. And because their defenders are turning around, because we're at the byline, they've then got so much more to think about. And Salah's running around and he's scoring at everything he touches. Firmino's scoring everything he touches. And yeah, it's just, you'd hate it. If I was a defender, I'd absolutely hate. I'd be more terrified of our attack than City's.
Yeah, and I've seen a couple of people interviewed after the game, and quotes and kind of comments after the game where West Ham fans saying that we are the best attacking team they've come across in a long, long time. And
it was so smooth. The attacking, it was just relentless and just well-drilled.
It's synchronised. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
It's just triangles, overlap, cut back. Over and over.
I don't even think we played that well. I don't think we had to.
Well, that's what I mean. We didn't get out of second gear. We just carried on. Just ticked along, done what we know how to do.
Yeah. If we were fully on it, we'd have scored 7 or 8 yesterday.
Yeah, and we say this every so often. Someone's going to get a hiding, and a few people have a couple of in Europe and stuff like that.
Have you seen how many times we've scored over 4 this season?
Yeah, I think between 4, it's 5, like 15 6 times. And 7. Between 4, yeah, is it 15 times?
Just off the top of my head, yeah, I saw someone put up.
It's something crazy like that, yeah. But
madness.
It's, Grizz, after a fairly frantic first 5, 6, 7 minutes, you know, West Ham couldn't not grow into the game, but they steadied themselves. And I suppose the first kind of warning we get is this Arnautovic chance. Now, don't get me wrong, I think West Ham were very, very defensive for the vast majority of the game. They managed to get a chance there yesterday. Arnautovic, the attempt is brilliant from Arnautovic, I have to give him credit. But this goalkeeper situation that we won every week, I think Carlos has made a big, big step forward in his progression as a Liverpool goalkeeper based on that save he's made there yesterday. Genuinely, I believe that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, good save. Good save at a crucial time. The big keepers do that. The big keepers, the top keepers, save you at crucial times. That first goal, I don't think it would have changed the result of the game, but it would have changed the sort of the course of the game for that period. It might have made us panic a little bit more, but Arnautovic is a good player. You know, don't get me wrong. He mouthed it off during the week, didn't he, about he's not scared of VVD. And I think it's funny because I think that was the only incident he played on VVD's side. After that, he ran over to old soft-ass Matip for the rest of the game, didn't he? Just sat on his shoulders for the rest of the game. He didn't go near VVD for the rest of the 90 minutes. So, but he's a good player, good attempt, and it was a very good save. He made 2 saves, didn't he? But that was, I think that was the crucial one because, again, it looked like it just come off the bar, didn't it? But I think he got fingertips to it. So, yeah, listen, he's growing in confidence just as the back four are, just as the whole team is. Just as VVD came back, has come into the team, so it's just a sequence of events that's, you know, fitting in real nice, isn't it? It's the confidence in the back four, as you said. I didn't really feel panicked. There's always West Ham are notoriously always cause us problems with crosses and set pieces, etc. But I didn't really feel that panic. I feel we're far more organised and sort of composed. That's the word. We look more composed. As you said, we look more... We look less panicky, and as you said, when we look less panicky, we're in control of our sort of movement and senses. And I think Karius is a prime example of that at the moment. Credit to him.
Ian, you made a comment to me yesterday with regards to the fullbacks. Now, one thing I noticed, particularly in the first half, was that it wasn't a fullback team. It was a team about Mane. And Mane, for me, seemed to spend an awful lot of the first half, probably 15, 20 yards in from the touchline. Because he identifies that West Ham are playing with these three centre-halves and he's going to try nearly match up with himself, Salah and Firmino, you know, going three-on-three against them. But it left a massive gap for Robertson in particular. And then on the other side, likewise, Trent. Just the progression of these two. Robertson was out at the start of the season. Moreno was in. Moreno gets an injury. Robertson comes in and he's gone strength to strength, Robertson. And I think he's looking an absolute snip at 8 million. Trent, on the other hand, was kind of kept out big games away from home, but you're starting to see that change. These are two fabulous fullbacks, really fabulous fullbacks. I'm not too surprised by the offensively, but even defensively, they're coming on leaps and bounds. They could be there for years to come, couldn't they?
Well, how old's Robertson? Is it 23?
Somewhere around that, yeah.
23, 24, and Trent's not even 20 yet. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, they're excellent. I was saying to you yesterday, when's the last time Liverpool had a good left-back who was fit? Aurelio was decent, but was always on the treatment table. Risa was a very good wing-back, but wasn't a particularly good full-back. Daddy? I can't think of another one who's been really good.
Finnan.
Who? Finnan. He played right-back more than left-back, though, didn't he?
Oh, did you say left-back? I thought you meant full. Yeah, fair one. I put this out on Twitter before. When was the last time we had two fullbacks we enjoyed?
Yeah, it's really good to watch. And I think the reason why Mane's tucking inside a bit more there, because Robertson is growing into his role more and more. You see it week after week. He's fit. He's incredibly fit. I don't know if he's fitter now than when he first came in, because you couldn't really tell. But in terms of the drills that they must be running and training and him getting up and down the line and where to be and what to do and all that. £8 million. He's effectively been swapped with Kevin Stewart, who can't get a game for Hull for £8 million.
Just a couple, Ian, just to knock your theory on the head about left-backs, we have Konchesky, we have De Sena, and we have... there was someone else thrown in there.
Julian Dix.
Bjornaby.
Yeah.
So Bjornaby. You put all those left-backs together.
Yeah.
And I mean, times their speed and ability and all put them together, and they're still only half the player of fucking Dennis Irwin. And he was a right-footed left-back.
Yeah, Dennis Irwin. So they can fuck up.
And as for Trent, Trent's going to be world-class at whatever position he stays in. I've said it from the start, he's going to be world-class. His delivery, I thought, was a little bit off at times yesterday, but he's just got so much ability.
Relentless.
So much ability.
I thought he was brilliant up, you know, up to the point of the first goal. I thought he was great, and he seemed to be the one that was making that kind of, you know, that third man running sort of thing, where he was getting in behind and clipping balls in or forcing them to make, you know, clear it out for corners. Matt, Ian's kind of covered it, you know, with regards to the fullbacks, but could you see these two staying a fullback, say for the rest of the season, solid rest of the season? That's it, case closed.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll have no problem with that. Just rest them when they need it, because they are young, so you don't want to be putting too many miles in the legs. But even if they don't, like Gomez, he was going through a sticky patch, but he's still a good player. So if he comes in against like Newcastle or someone like that, or Porto, that's fine. If we know Moreno's been playing well this season, so if he comes in again for them games, then it's fine. We've actually got people now where I'm kind of happy whichever fullback plays. I mean, them two are, yes, they are, they're our best, like, but the other two, if they come in, it's not a problem.
Okay, sorry, just a quick question for you, Grizz. As an industry expert, what did you make of the shortage of chicken from KFC this week?
Travesty, mate.
Travesty, that's the word you're going with.
Travesty.
Ray Dickinson asked that question.
I'm not complaining, though, because my business was booming over the weekend. So
that's because he, he fucking bought all KFC's chicken. That's why his business is booming.
I'd say he set chicken trucks on fire. I hope he done that. But now you're going with the word travesty, yeah?
Travesty, mate.
Okay, all right. A couple of people here are asking about transfer targets. We might touch on that later on because a couple of names that come up right now. I know one or two lads on this want to take all the credit for Liverpool being linked with these players, so we'll get back to that later. You know who he is there. Matt, it's not you.
What?
It's not you. It's not you. You rest easy, Matt. You've been drinking all weekend. We're not blaming you on anything. I'm blaming the other two.
Okay. All right, sad.
Right. Let's get to it. Goals. That's all we love, is goals. We opened the scoring, Emre Can with a header from a corner, which was surprising, because West Ham are really good at that. But Grizz, it was a good time to break the deadlock, wasn't it? You know, half-time was creeping up on us. And you know yourself, it gets to half-time, the crowd can get a bit fucking nervous, and you come out in the second half. If it doesn't happen early, it gets worse and worse. But it was a great time to get it. And it was a great header, actually, when looking back on it.
I love scoring from set pieces as a Liverpool fan. I prefer, in games like this, sort of where we're expected sort of to have all the possession and all the build-up and link-up play, when you suddenly score from a set piece, it's an absolute bonus. When you score like this kind of goal. I mean, his corners weren't very good, actually, Salah's. I think he takes a previous one. It comes back out for another corner. Again, it's a Trent cross, isn't it, that goes a bit haywire. And the keeper sort of has to tap it away. It's amazing. We've actually just, it's funny because just with VVD in our team, it's like we actually look imposing and threat on set pieces as well. So it's not only sort of beefed up our defence and we look solid at the back. We actually look a threat in the opposition's penalty area. And
he should have scored, shouldn't he? He should have scored
the
header.
Yeah, exactly. And he knows it as well. He really looks like he's going to score. Who's the other centre back that I'm thinking of that always looked as John Terry? You know, John Terry was always like near enough, sort of convinced he's going to score every time he gets like a set piece for Chelsea, or whatever. Virgil van Dijk is very similar. He's expected to sort of get on the end of these crosses and sort of, you know, be a threat.
I always think Lovren gets in good positions. He's just shit at headering. He always gets in that position.
Well, your man, your man Matip's very similar. He gets into these bloody positions as well, but he's just sort of, you know, he's awful in front of the goal as well. It's to be expected. But Emre, what's that? Is his sixth goal?
Fifth of the season.
This season? Bonus.
Six.
Six. Sorry, I thought it was fifth.
Set piece goals, love them, especially when they break the deadlock, because then we can actually start playing our football. So obviously, if things are not going away our way in terms of open play, a set piece goal, I love it, and we're getting better and better at them.
Says Terry was always convinced he was going to score with Bridges' wife. Just thought I'd throw her in there. Matt, I'll come back to you. Grizz touched on something there, I suppose, about Oxlade-Chamberlain. No, sorry, Salah and his corners not being great. A couple of people here have said, why wasn't Oxlade-Chamberlain on them? His delivery seems really good. But, Matt, the first goal, we get it. Is that the one where you think, yeah, lovely, we break that, we break them now, and just get the half-time at 1-0 makes them, you know, less set in their ways, and they'll have to come out and try something against us.
Yeah, exactly. Any team playing us at the moment wants to go in half time, not conceding. And even though I was confident just getting that goal, it, as you said, it changed up the tactics a bit. It changes their half time talk. It changes ours. We just love to play on the break. So anything to bring them out a little bit more just helps it along. And that's what the goal did. I mean, the goal itself as well, I thought it was a lovely. It wasn't really a header. It was more of a flick. If you watch it, it was pretty much the only place he could put it because there was a defender jumping across the front of him. So big Emre, isn't it? You know, I love him anyway, and he's staying as well. It's confirmed.
Staying. amazing. Ian, you, as you said, Emre Can sixth of the season. I can remember one other one away to Brighton when he scores from a corner as well. He's got a few crucial goals, hasn't he, this season? In fairness to him, you know. That one at Brighton is crucial. There's one away at Huddersfield, I think, as well. I can remember being quite crucial. He's popping up with them, and we look a hell of a lot more of a threat, don't we, in the box. And I think, again, that's down to Van Dijk. I think he's causing panic in that area of the game.
Yeah. I mean, he's added a few goals to his game this season. I mean, to be fair, before the goal, I thought he was atrocious for the first half an hour. Sometimes he's like a yard off the pace when he starts. It's like he needs a proper big rev to get going, do you know what I mean? But I thought after he scored the goal, I thought he was excellent, but then he was at fault for their goal. So, typical Emre Can, really. He's never just all right. He's either brilliant or shit. But yeah, he's a big lad, isn't he? He's a big lad, like. But Eder at the back post. They're saying they should let Wise and Oxlade-Chamberlain on the corners. Well, Salah's just got an assist off on there, so that's.
Well, I think he's doing it, isn't he? Yeah, I think what they're doing is playing in swinging corners from either side. Yeah. So if it's one on the other side, Ox takes it, and then
it's good to have options, isn't it? They've got a few, you can take them now. It's good. Like Trent could do it from both sides. Yeah. But yeah, it's a good goal, and we needed it as well. Like, what was it, about half an hour?
20.
When you got it?
29 minutes, was it?
Oh, was it? I
can look it up. I never remember.
As soon as we took the lead against Edna, that's game over. Because Moyes doesn't come to score, if you know what I mean. They're looking to get maybe the odd one from a chance or a set piece, but they need to get that first to have any chance of winning.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's got no balls.
Matt, I'll come back to you. We get into the second half and, you know, I think we're all in agreement. I don't think Liverpool were at their absolute best yesterday. It probably toward fourth gear at times, but they stepped on the gas, didn't they? Straight out the half time, there was no messing about. There was no letting these back into it. They were going to stamp their authority on it, and we make it 2-0. That man Salah again, but a massive shout to Oxlade-Chamberlain for skill and a lot of perseverance, a little bit of luck, but another good goal, and that's 31 for the season now for Salah.
Yeah, Ox was relentless, wasn't he? It's good to see. Love it. He's really coming into his own in midfield. I mean, coming into a Klopp side anyway is quite difficult, so he took a while to get in. He had a few good games, and then he went off the boil, and Klopp does what he does. He took him out the side, took him out the limelight. People start talking about him, and then perfect game, put him back in, and he's rewarded him with a great performance. Did he get one or two assists? Was he arguing with Salah over one?
No, he's the one that plays it out to Robertson, isn't he? And then Robertson squares it.
No, that's for me.
That's Bobby.
The last one.
Yeah.
But I mean, he was doing all the defensive work as well. He was back in our half. I was really impressed with him. I loved all our midfield, actually, this game. I thought we were really good. As you say, we just ticked along nicely. We were just cruising. It was easy for us. They stepped up a little bit as well, probably because of the goal before half-time, which gave us a little bit more space, especially Robertson down our left. He just kept overlapping. And who's there, right back?
Zabaleta, ring back.
Yeah, well, he just couldn't deal with him. And then the finish by Salah. Anything he hits is going in, isn't he? He's so confident. He's like in that Harry Kane mode where he just hits it and he's going to roll in or do anything. Obviously, he's a lot better than Harry Kane outside the box, but in the box, whatever he hits, it's just flying.
The funny thing about it is when he hits these, it's more the timing of when he hits it rather than the contact, so he's hitting them early. And he's like, that one has no pace to it, but it's across the goal and it's in the net. And
it's a pure confidence hit, that's all it is. He's similar to the West Ham goal.
He's nearly scuffing it, but it's going across goal and the keeper is just not set.
That's the difference when things are just going your way. You scored about five like that.
Why did you run out there? He got dead excited.
Didn't do anything.
It's like you were shouting to your neighbour. Go on.
I don't like my neighbour.
You're probably shouting at him.
Difference between when things are going your way, because Mane's been put through a few times and it's similar shots and the keeper's made the saves, whereas Salah's have been going in. They're not that much different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But fair play. I keep waiting for it to stop, but it's just not going to stop.
No, it's not going to stop. And
I haven't brought him into my FPL team all season, and I'm not going to.
Salah?
I'm near enough. Yeah, I'm bottom, but I'm doing it for a reason, Max. Chris Curse.
For the greater good, is it?
Yeah, I've honestly, because I know the moment I'm bringing him into my team. I know, it's the truth. I've got no Liverpool players. I'm not doing it.
Sorry, Matt, you were asking... You were asking about assists there. Someone on Periscope said that he got one assist, but he did set up Mane for the chance we'll talk about later. Where he hits the post, he gets that one as well. Grizz, I'll come to you next, and we make it 3. and it's Firmino, and he's kicking balls in the goal without looking, and he's doing all that. But the good thing about this one is, he's actually, if you watch the goal, he actually falls into the left because he's covering for Mane, who goes to press the ball and then makes the run. And it's a great ball by Emery Jean. But again, for a player that some people have doubts over, I'm just waiting for Matt's smile to come up in his face now when I say this. But for a player that has, you know, people that have doubts over him, and is he this and is he that, it's another goal.
It's just stupid people.
It's another goal, Grizz. And it's a good striker's goal because he's in. It's a nice touch around the keeper. You know, cool and calm.
A shout out for the pass, because I didn't appreciate the pass until I saw it again. It's actually so very... And it's with his left foot, isn't it, Matt?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, he tackles with his right
and then it's with his left.
And so you often... I mean, you don't often see him use his left peg much, but this was... And this was very, very delicately... The weight of it had to be perfect. And the finish, do you know what the finish reminded me of, guys? Matt's probably too young, but used to remember Romario. That touch he gets, that's a Romario poke just before the keeper, where he just dicks it over. It looked very easy. It looked like, what did he just do there to the keeper? But it's just, if you watch it really carefully, Romario used to do something very similar, like when he got through, just pokes it over the keeper, and that... No look finish is just it's becoming his trademark, isn't it? He does it with aplomb, and it's like sort of it's beautiful. He's joyous to watch. He's an absolute joy to watch at the moment, Bobby Firmino. Plays with a smile, you know. He's full of life, isn't he?
Matt,
I'm just like the other strikers. Go on, sorry, Matt.
Sorry, Ian. I'm going to make a statement to you. Bobby Firmino is the main man of that Liverpool team. Do you agree or disagree?
Mate, I've said it to you for 12 months. He's the first name on the team sheet. I've said it. Go back to one of our first podcasts. I've been saying it. He's Klopp's favourite player. End of story.
He is, but I don't want to get into... I think we're trying to get away from this one-man team, like a Phil team or Bobby team.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, it's difficult. You can't take away Salah's importance.
Our wide forwards don't get nowhere near as many goals if it's not for Firmino.
Absolutely.
He's the most important player to not making it a one-man team, if that makes sense.
Yeah. It's like the glue, isn't it? It's the glue up front that holds everyone together.
It's not even that. If you watch the goals when they're scored, right? Salah, like, everyone just loves Salah because I think he's probably the nicest person on the planet. Yeah. But Mane is scoring.
So is Bobby. So is Mane.
When Mane scores... He's trying to do Bobby Firmino fucking swinging roundhouse kicks or whatever the fuck, ninja kicks. And, like, even when you see Firmino scoring, the two of them are like a light over to him. You know, it's like, yes, you know, this fella that does all this work for us gets his reward as well, you know, on top of what we're getting at the moment. And
do you know what? Sorry, mate, go ahead.
No, come on, you're all right.
I was going to say, you know, sometimes when we get these three get compared to the last three we had of Suarez, Steele and Sturridge... Well, Suarez and Sturridge didn't really get on that well. Do you know what I mean? They performed well on the same pitch because they were both good players, but they weren't really mates or nothing. These three have genuine joy for each other, do you know what I mean? Like when they score, and it's brilliant to watch. Proper camaraderie. Like, that type of stuff will enable us to sign even more players, because they'll see that and they'll think, yeah, I want to be part of that.
Matt, just one thing on this. I mean, it's 3-0. All right, and a lot of people have said it was a brilliant performance, and it's something that we're seeing more and more with regards to teams that come and park the bus. I fucking hate that park the bus analogy, but for you, are you seeing a progression in the team week on week or month on month where these sort of teams coming to do this aren't bothering us anymore? That, you know, we're able to find a way around them, and we have the confidence to do it.
Yeah, well, to be fair, we started doing it at the back end of last season. Come about March, we started going through teams, even before the bad patch, actually. We were just going through these park-the-bus teams. It's like Klopp has found the formula now. We have the odd upset, but it's not a weekly thing where we can't beat these teams, if you know what I mean, if that makes sense. He's using the fullbacks a lot more, and I just think the team has confidence that they'll get a goal at some point, whereas before it would kind of be passed to Coutinho to put a load of long range shots in, and he was dragging us out of games. Whereas now, the whole team is confident that the tactics that are in play will work because they've been proven to in the past, and we're just, and teams are scared of us as well. So when they're second guessing themselves, because it used to be us scared of not winning, now it's them scared of getting battered. So yeah, I just think Klopp knows, he's learned, like he did about Christmas, and he's learned how to deal with the Premiership, and he's learned on the job, and I think he admits it himself at the start. But yeah, I've got no problem now when we play these shite teams, except United.
Ian, we have to go on to the West Ham goal. Mikel Antonio comes on the pitch. I think he's itching on the pitch for about 20 seconds. We're in control of the ball. I think we win it, and it falls to Jean. And the ball is just to play it out to Robertson. It's just a turning play out to Robertson. And people were having a little go at Robertson, saying he was out of position, but he wasn't. He was moving into a position where Emre Can just put the ball, and he gets caught on it. So I blame Can on it. It's a decent finish. Do you think Karius was a bit slow or had his angles a bit wrong on that?
Yeah, I was just about to say, I think Chan's a bit cumbersome in midfield. Should let it go about three touches earlier, but he does that sometimes, doesn't he? Robertson's out of position because we lose possession. If we're still in possession, he's doing exactly what Matt just applauded him for earlier on, getting down the wing and opening up the space. But I think Antonio's not a bad player, do you know what I mean? He takes it early.
I was very surprised he left out. Yeah, I was very surprised he was left out.
Apparently his attitude's been dog shit since he got in the England squad, apparently. But it's a decent strike. But yeah, I thought, I know the Karius fanboys won't like to hear it, like, but I thought Karius could possibly have done better, yeah. I don't think it's a mistake. I won't have a go at him for it. But I think if he's on the absolute top of his game, he saves that. Because he does get a touch, doesn't he? Doesn't he get a slight touch?
No, he just misses it. I watched it. I'm like you. You can't have a go at him because it's not a mistake. But I watched it quite closely. The ball's not actually too far away from him. But his problem is he's just taken a step to the left and his heels are planted. So he can't get down quick enough to get to the ball. So it's actually close enough for him to save it. It's just because he's just moved over a little bit too much to the left, maybe even an inch. And as he's landed on his heels, the shot's come. Because the shot is quite early, to be fair. I thought he was going to take it.
I think that's what caught him out. He took it a bit early. Yeah. Fair play to him. It's a good finish, but yeah,
it's not a mistake, it's just not good keeping.
Do you know what?
Exactly.
Do you know what?
I think at the top of his game, I think he saves that.
Do you know what? I'm actually going to let him let down and slide because I've only said 5 minutes ago that Salah hits one early and Adrian is just standing there watching it going in the net. So if you have to like be positive about Salah's finish, I suppose you have to be kind of positive about and give Antonio the credit there as well.
I'm not saying, and this is the best thing I can say about it, right? I'm not saying De Gea had saved that, or Lloris had saved that, or any of them. I'm saying Karius would have saved that. He's good enough to save that, but he just didn't, if you know what I mean. So I think on his best day, he saves that. The save he done in the first half from the chip, from Anantovic, is well more difficult than that.
That was an unbelievable save. Did we talk about that?
Yeah, we have. Yeah. I know, yeah.
Did we?
Yeah, we've done it.
Sad.
You never cease to amaze me.
Can we talk about Liverpool's first goal?
Did we talk about the fourth? Yeah, we've done that as well. We're all over this.
We're in a bad way.
But just on the Emery thing. I think it was a blatant mistake, and he could have just, as people said, he should have just played it out to Robertson, who some people were criticising, and comparing it to the Moreno situations where Moreno gets criticised for the same thing.
Away at Arsenal on the opening day of the season.
But it just proves the toll to do it by Klopp.
Right, it proves that, and it also proves that, again, you know, we touched on the breaking down the bus. I think that's, for me, in my personal opinion, I think the attacking fullbacks is the crucial part that's clicked in order for us to break down buses now. I mean, I know we've got Salah and the Mane scenario, you know, and almost playing like inverted wingers, but the fact that we've got, as Ian says, we couldn't even mention, two attacking fullbacks who attack simultaneously with high energy, relentless, like our current ones. I think that is being the breakthrough and key to breaking down buses, because as Matt says in his first, I've been listening to all of you today, and you know, making notes and observing, and you lot all made sense today.
And what Matt said
about sort of overlapping fullbacks as well now, and sort of, it's absolutely spot on. We've always had maybe one decent or good fullback, sort of Klein, not very good on the ball, but in terms of he was very high energy, high octane, gets forward, but his final ball lets him down. But this time, for finally, we've got two that do at the same time, and it's an absolute handful for any defence. I mean, I think Moyes was a total disaster of a selection in terms of picking two 56-year-olds playing right back and left back like Evra and Zabaleta against sort of Robertson.
Do you think that's good? He played Zabaleta in the centre midfield last week.
Well, there you go. Moyes, the Messiah, eh?
He's a fucking idiot, now, is what he is.
He's, I mean, I think the evolution of our fullbacks is key to how we break down buses now. I think it's brilliant, and they're here to stay. Fingers crossed for a long time.
Okay. I didn't even know people were laying into Robertson, really. But you can't be having a go at someone being out of position when we're caught in transition.
They weren't having a go at Robertson. They were sort of using it. You know what happens? The fanboys of one player. Your fanboy, the Moreno fanboys, were coming out and saying, "See, if that was Robertson, he would have been criticised." You know, blah blah blah.
To be honest with you, I've seen a couple of people saying, "Where was Robertson? Where was Robertson?" And
yeah,
it's people that I hate to say it, but it's people that don't understand the way Liverpool are trying to play are saying that, because if you watch it, if you watch it back, just don't watch what Emery Jean is doing. Watch Robertson. And as soon as that breaks to Jean, he sees that space in front of him, and he's expecting Jean to get the ball out of his feet, play it out to the left, and he's a run down the left-hand side.
Mate,
they've gone really narrow. Yeah, sorry.
It's a trust thing, isn't it? If you're bombing on left-back or right-back, you've got to trust that your midfielder are going to leave you out to dry and get out to dry. And he can't have done that.
When he loses
the ball, there's no way he's turning around and running 6 yards.
Do you know you said a big lad? I think sometimes he overestimates his size and power, and he kind of uses it in sort of situations where he doesn't need to. He needs to use his brain more than his brawn sometimes. And that's one of those scenarios.
Yourself here.
Yeah.
You're a big lad who doesn't use his brain.
We're having a serious football chat, me and Ian.
Oh, sorry.
Carry on doing what you're doing.
You took notes.
Yeah, he's always.
And you know, if you haven't seen my right hand,
what?
You have not seen my right hand today.
I don't want to do with your right hand.
He's having a wank. But I think Chan, Joker's got to be that type of player where he has too many touches. He likes to be in control of the ball sometimes, so a bit longer than he should.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, I think a 2-0. I don't think he does that. I think the fact that it's 3-0 and he decides that we're way better than them and he can have that extra touch because he believes we're superior to him. I think a 2-0, he takes that and he plays it. I think it's as simple as that. Anyway, look, West Ham, I don't even think they do much after they score. You know, they get it to 3-1, but I think, as we all said, we don't panic. We keep playing our football. Mane should make it 4-1 when he's put through by Oxlade-Chamberlain again, hits the post. But then we do get 4-1. And Ian, I'm going to give you a first run at this goal because this starts with a back pass to Loris Karius. And from there, in about 5 passes, Mane is sticking in the net and it's a fantastic goal.
It's a bit more than that, isn't it? A bit more than 5 passes. It's total football. The keeper and the two defenders have played around a little bit and we look like we're in a bit of trouble and we play it about and... It's a marvellous goal, man. And you don't see many sides scoring goals like that in the Premier. Maybe City can do it. But Liverpool, I've got it down to a fine art now. The Karius is much better on the ball than Mignolet. That's not even up for debate.
No, it's not.
And it's just lovely the way they're pulling it round. And that's an important goal, that, because if West Ham were to get another set piece and get it back to 3-2, then you start getting a tricky arse. Do you know what I mean? It's just such a lovely goal, man. Really, and to be fair, Mane tries his best to miss that one as well.
I genuinely think he's really cute in what he does.
He puts it round, away from the keeper. Yeah, I suppose. But it's just a lovely team goal. That goal doing the rounds from earlier in the season in slow motion, is it where Chan scores at the back post against Hoffenheim?
Yeah.
It's reminiscent of that. It's just nice and They don't get near the ball.
I compared this one to the great Brazilian Carlos Alberto one where he smashes it in at the end of the move. And I said this one eclipses that because this one's against West Ham, you said.
Right.
You know, but the difference is we got Matip and Milner part of the build up play, so this one excludes. They've got world legends of the game. You know, we our one started off like a, with a dodgy back pass, I think, Gav, wasn't it, as you're saying? It started with a bit of a dodgy back pass, and then we just calm it down and we keep patient. And the crowd stays with the team, which is very important in those scenarios. About a month ago, 6 weeks ago, I think the crowd would have been on Karius' back there to hoof the ball.
He was. You could hear the crowd tell him to kick it in that instance.
Not as much this time, Ian. Yeah,
some people are just stupid. You can't eradicate stupidity.
I don't think it's stupidity.
We would have replaced you on the pod months ago.
I think they've just been worn down and stuff, like the same for years.
In the past.
You know, so
to be fair, it's what we said earlier, that the team's more confident than so was. You'll still get some people shouting, but most people now are confident in the team and their ability. Yeah, and
wasn't Carlos Alberto's goal in the World Cup final?
Yeah, same thing.
This was against West Ham.
Practically the same. Salah, six yards out, tapping Carlos Alberto 2-0 to finish the game in the World Cup. Yeah, it's practically the same. I see what you're on about.
No, it's better than Carlos Alberto's.
He's just better than Eclipses.
Back the man up with you. Fucking hell.
No.
Right. So anyway, 4-1. I was delighted to see Manny get the goal, but more importantly, Matt, I was delighted to see Robertson get the assist. It topped off a brilliant performance from him, didn't it?
Yeah, it was perfect training, ground goal. Play it down the channels, draw the fullback in, and he's doing what he's been doing all season. He's just getting in behind. His pace, his power, absolutely everything. I'm so happy we've got him. Like, you know, I love Moreno. Like, I proper back him, but I have no problem with him sitting on the bench for this guy because he's just doing it every week. Confidence again. And you can see he's done an interview afterwards, and the whole team's just happy and confident at the moment, coming into such an important time in the season. It's great. We're going to go on a big run. Touch wood, we'll smash the run. But I looked at the stats earlier and tweeted them out. Since the Tottenham loss, it's about 2.3 points a game, which is unbelievable.
It's Champions League winning form, isn't it?
Hey, lads, talking about that World Cup and West Ham, Stephen Kingsley makes a good point here. He says, 4 years previously, West Ham apparently won the World Cup.
Great point, Stephen. Yeah, no, that's fair.
Yeah, Ian, it's 88-point season. So just in 2013-14, City won with 86 points. So that's been off form.
88 to win it, a winning total usually, like.
Yeah, it is. It wasn't last season. That was 91.
That sums Liverpool up. Every year we finish second, we get a point total that would have won it like four other years. Because that's just how we do.
We had the bad start, so we won't get that high. But our form since Tottenham's just been unbelievable. Considering we've done Champions League as well. Was that okay to move on?
What?
Was that an okay? As in, we're moving on.
Yeah,
Shut up, Matt.
If we hit Carlos Alberto again, I swear. Man of the match, lads. No, moving on because we're closing on an hour already.
No, go on.
Man of the match, lads. I think it's a difficult one this week, genuinely. Grizz, I'll come to you first, your man of the match.
Man of the match, I've done a bit of a poll, and I think it was a bit of a landslide for Robertson in the poll. I think like he got like 60 to 65% of the vote. You can't look past Robertson, but I think we haven't given enough credit to Milner. We mentioned Ox and we mentioned Emery and the usual suspects, but I thought Milner had a very, very good game as well.
Would you just pick one?
Yeah.
He does this. He picks about seven.
He does it every week. He just says all the players. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I think Mane... Can I continue? You can't look past Carlos Alberto.
Yeah.
Robertson Carlos was my man of the match. I thought he's amazing.
Okay. Ian, I'll come to you next. Your man of the match. Feel free.
There's only eight on a team, isn't there? I give it to Oxlade-Chamberlain. I just thought he was just so creative in the second half. He's unlucky.
Second half.
He should have more assists. Well, second half when we really stepped it up, wasn't he? He picks the ball up, he's running, he's beating players. You say he's a bit lucky with the when he puts Salah through, but he ain't that luck, and I still think he played it as well. He should get another assist. I just thought he was outstanding. I love his attitude, mate. I think he's a brilliant, brilliant squad player now.
There's Stephen Kingsbury again. He says Trent, man of the match for that tackle on Everett.
Stop shucking him off.
What?
Stop shucking Stephen Kingsbury off. It's your dad.
It's Grizz's mate. It's the fella that helped Grizz rob all the chicken. Matt, your man of the match. Who are you going for?
Yeah, tough one. Ox, Millie, Robertson, one of them.
Name one, will you? You fucking idiot.
Naming all the players.
I'm going to give Ox. I'm going to give it to him because he had a bad little run in the team. He's come back. He's done really well. So I made up for him. And he kept, even though, like we're saying, he done well for a couple of goals, his tracking back and his defending and his proper central midfield work rate was really good. So I'm going to give it to him.
Yeah, I think Grizz's shout at Robertson is really good, but I'm going to agree with you two lads, and I'm going to go for Oxlade-Chamberlain. I thought in the first half he worked really hard to break anything West Ham tried to do. I think he tried to break it up, and when he won the ball, he used it very well. In the second half, as you lads said, he was very good going forward, very positive. He gets an assist, he should have two. I thought he was picking up great space throughout the game. So, yeah, after coming in, after missing the Porto game and coming in and doing that, yeah, I'll give it to Oxlade-Chamberlain as well. Right, a few people have been on with regards to transfers, right? But before I get to that, we all know Grizz does 26 pretend diets a year. So now we're going to put him to the test, and we're going to put him to the test properly. What we're going to do is, Grizz and myself are going to go head-to-head in a weight loss contest, aren't we, Grizz?
And Ian?
I've been doing it for ages. You crack on.
It doesn't look it.
Yeah, I think you've been trying. You won, mate.
So anyway,
cancel that one.
No, look, if Ian's getting a head start, I'm not letting him go in. It's Grizz and myself. What we're going to do is, I don't know what timescale we're going to put on it. We're going to weigh ourselves. Then we're going to do a timescale.
6 weeks.
6 weeks, and whoever loses the most after the 6 weeks, I don't know, the other person donates.
So I want pictures of your feet on the scales as well.
Oh yeah,
how about you?
You don't want a picture of my feet, lad.
How about you do it until we go out the Champions League?
Yeah, but that could be fucking 3 weeks, 4 weeks.
Good. So with a bit of luck, you'll both lose fucking 7 stone, and we'll win it.
Right. No, I'll tell you what we do. What about we do it until the last day of the game of the season?
I'm trying to help you, Gav, because the longer this goes on, the more he won't win.
Right. So
I'm losing weight as we speak.
I'll tell you what, we'll put it to some sort of poll after this, but it is happening. It's starting tomorrow. We don't know the timescale yet, but we're going to have a little bit of fun.
Weight off. Me and Gav are going to have a weight off.
I don't know. At the end, probably we'll donate money to charity that the loser does something.
No. We've got a box of Ferrero Rochers for the winner.
Okay. All right. So that's just to let you know that's what's going to happen. We won't be changing the name of the pod if we all lose weight. Because even losing loads of weight, we're still the Fat Pack Four. Except for Matt. Matt is, I think Matt's in the Tour de France next year, the amount of cycling he's doing. But on to transfers, and I want to just touch on a couple of things. Alisson has come back up in the news this week, and Jorginho, am I right in what I'm saying there? Yeah, so Ian, I'm going to come to you first. Jorginho, this is a player, genuinely, that you have told me about, and probably the other lads here, about for months.
I have, mate.
Yeah, and saying and saying he is perfect for Liverpool Football Club, and if you can get him, you have to get him. Ian, don't mind them too. Yeah, it was definitely you that said it.
Yeah,
run me through it.
I think he's the perfect fit to play at the base of the midfield for Klopp. He's not a destroyer. He's not a Kante or a Wanyama or any of those types. He's just a deep line playmaker, very Alonso-esque spraying of the ball. If anything, he's actually a better passer than Alonso at breaking the lines. He's a bit more decisive than Alonso. Alonso can dictate the play a bit better. Jorginho he just breaks the lines of his passing. You know the way you get it to the front men before everyone's back in position. He's brilliant, brilliant. He's Brazilian. He can play for Italy, or he has, but he's Brazilian basically. But he's outstanding. I heard someone on Twitter yesterday say, "Ah, oh, he definitely can't play at the base. We'll get run all over." Well, he's playing at the base of the spot. He's playing at the base of the midfield for possibly the best footballing side in Europe outside of Liverpool at the minute. So he's outstanding. Put him with Keita and maybe add a goal scoring midfielder in with those two.
I'm going to show me. I'm going to show me ignorance here. Was this fellow with Monaco? Is there a guy that with a similar name that was with Monaco?
That was Janinho.
There was Janinho at Lyon in like 1985.
When I seen his name, I thought, there's a guy similar like that in Monaco that was being rumoured to be going around. Was it Fabinho, maybe? Is that what I'm doing?
Same thing.
I stumbled across him ages ago when he was playing for Verona. I was just watching a shitty game. And I was just this lad playing, and he was more box to box then, but he was still brilliant. And if you put someone with pure legs next to him, i.e. Keita, because he's got a few at Napoli, like Allen and Zielinski and all them, he's a top signing. I don't know how much he'll cost, but it'll be a lot of money, and I think a lot of teams in Europe would want him as well.
Okay. We actually wanted him under Rodgers era when he was at Verona.
We don't believe any of your shite.
No, but I'm not asking you. I'm not talking to you at this very precise moment in time.
Talking to the public, man.
Okay.
Sorry. So we're talking to the public here. But we did actually want him when he was at Hellas Verona under Rodgers. But you know, it's one of those ones that still didn't go through.
The hell is in there now to make it more.
you asked me a question ages ago if we could only sign two players.
Yeah.
Who would it be? And I said Alisson and Jorginho.
Yeah,
you did.
You did, and that's why it came up again. Grizz,
so fuck off Paul Joyce.
Paul Joyce. There was no need for that. That was a bit mad. Paul Joyce is the one that
he's talking about. The black Paul Joyce.
Oh, the black Paul Joyce, is it?
Paul Joyce.
Come here, Grizz. Alisson, he comes back up during the week, because I think it was last week, it was like, no, we've ended all interest in him. And now Paul Joyce, Ian's best mate, is saying that, no, we're still in talks with this Steve, and we're in talks with him, and he wants to go and all this sort of stuff, and the fee is the only thing that will be the stumbling block. What do you make of this coming back on the radar again?
It wasn't off the radar. Paul Joyce actually didn't say that. Paul Joyce this time round has said that the only sticking problem will be the fee, and that's it.
So the main part then.
But the interesting part is, this is where...
That's the exclusive. The fee is just a byproduct.
And now the exclusive on the Fatback Four, right? Not only did I say we were interested in him in the last, like, 7 months ago, but we've actually, in my opinion, I think we've agreed terms with him, his agent. So it's far progressed than people think. Obviously, the fee with the Salah, after the Salah scenario with Roma, is going to be a bit complicated because, you know, they don't want to have their pants pulled down another time round. But we've actually got a good relationship with Roma at boardroom level, despite what people think. So it's not as dead as people make out. We may still strike a deal. He definitely wants to come to us, though, which is obvious because everyone wants to come to us at the moment, eh?
So did you hear that? Griez has said we are definitely signing him. Did you hear that? Put that on Twitter.
Stick that down in your notes and make sure they're not imagining like Grizz.
I just want to give you
one show. A lot of people have said that, you know, it may be a goalkeeper a la Alisson. It could be Jorginho. It could be players coming in, whatever it is, or whoever it is. A lot of people think, and a few journalists, I suppose, have said that a Coutinho replacement is on the radar for Klopp. Who would you go for? Because he has a goalkeeper. He has a player at
what position?
Yeah. No. Who would you, if as a Coutinho replacement right now? Who would you be looking for? I'm going to shout on someone because these two have anyway.
No, I don't. I don't think Coutinho had a place in the team. I think he was shoehorned in because he was so good. He played off the left attack where Mane's playing. Like, there's no player in our team now which plays in the same position. I don't know if it's because no one's as good, but I think he was shoehorned in. I think Keita is the midfielder which can add the goals, add the assists, the through balls, which we lost from Coutinho. But he adds more going back, sitting further down the field than Coutinho did. So I think Keita's that replacement, and then we'll go for either a young forward, because them three can't do it again all next season, and the keeper.
Okay. Hey, did you see Coutinho's goal for Barca last night? Or the other night?
Yeah.
Good, fuck man. Off. Who watches Coutinho play?
I just seen a highlight.
I thought the defender was poor, and I thought the keeper was poor, and I thought the lights might have been shining in his eyes.
Yeah. 35-yard screamer in off the post. Yeah, it was the keeper's fault, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah. But look, we have all that money.
Yeah.
It's money, loads of money we have. I don't know what you're
Let's go to Costco.
You know what I mean? I don't know.
No, I'm just saying he scored a good goal. He did.
Ah, fuck him. Anyway.
Matt's right, though. We need at least one new wide forward in the summer, because those three can't stay fit all year.
Yeah. Right. Where are we? Okay, let's get down to the last question. Before I do, I just want to give a shout out. The Day Trippers have launched some merchandise on their website. T-shirts, I think there's hoodies, cups, there's all sorts of stuff. Just get on there, lfcdt.com, get all the details.
If you enter the code Gavs and Midget, you get free postage and packaging as well, which is about 97% discount on the new product.
If you enter the discount, Grizz got notes, you also get the same discount. Fuck you, man. Well done, though. Fair play. Last question, lads. The last one is, a profession that you thought you would be good at, either, you know, as you were growing up, for argument's sake, that you thought you were good at, but now you know you'd be absolutely shit at. Grizz looks like he's only literally heard the question right now, so I'm going to leave him for a minute. Ian, I'll come to you first.
If I had my time over again, I would work with animals. I'd be like a zoologist or a zookeeper or a fucking butcher. Yeah. You know what I mean? Something like I would work with animals. I love animals. But the reason why I know I wouldn't be very good at it is because I'm scared of loads of them. Like, we went to a petting zoo today, and I'm scared to feed the ponies. No sexual joke. I'm scared to fucking scared. I'm feeding the cows carrots, and they're hitting me with giant tongues, and I'm screaming like a little fucking ladyboy. Do you know what I mean?
Sounds like a Saturday night for you.
Honestly, I'm wary of snakes. I don't like birds flying around me. I'm scared of a lot of things. But if I could just hang around with like orangutans and donkeys, then I'd be sound. So whatever.
Grizz and Gav, then, yeah.
Back for then.
I want to be a donkey herder.
Funny you say that. You're mad into the old orangutans, apes sort of thing, because I was listening back the other night. Spoiler alert, I was putting together some of our best bits for a pod that we may put out at some stage, and you were like vehemently like, the ape will kill the fucking lion. Like, you're so into them, aren't you?
I'm all about the primates and the orangutans. I love them all, the sound. If I had my way, Grizz wouldn't be on this pod. There'd just be a fucking stuffed gorilla in his seat.
You know what I mean? How do you know I'm not a stuffed gorilla?
Well,
because you talk. Point. And you couldn't get a gorilla to wear that coat.
He probably is stuffed, though. He probably had a lot to eat before we come on. So
I'm definitely stuffed.
Do you know what I mean? Matt, I'm on a diet.
Animals.
You're not on a diet. Midnight tonight. You're going to eat loads before midnight tonight. I know you are. Matt, a profession, you're growing up, you think, well, yeah, I'd be really great at that, and now you think, I don't know what made me think that, because I'd be shit. What are you going for?
Slightly different reasons than Ian, but as you all know, I'm a very caring individual.
Nicest
guy on Twitter. I generally believe that as well.
Yeah.
So I'd go into, like, I'd be a nurse for old people, you know, old people.
Oh.
But I've got a thing with old people's tits, so I'd be in prison within about.
Haven't seen enough of them.
I'd be in prison within a week, so it's not for me. I'm out. It's just when you see that pair of proper floppy ones, you know, where like you put them on the table, it's like a pancake. Oh, it gets me every time.
I don't know.
I'd be bad with old people. If I worked in a care home, you'd find me on some undercover panorama documentary in 3 years, like kicking old people up the arse or something. Honestly, I couldn't handle them. Old people shit. Oh, no.
What? You prefer young people shit? Young people shit.
No. I reckon old people shit would be worse than normal age people shit.
Why? Because they eat soup.
I don't know.
They don't eat soup, Matt.
They just look like they stink.
Depends. They just like get the stink. Big soup.
The big soup.
Either way.
Yeah.
Gives a whole of big soup.
With the big bits in.
Oh, it's right.
They all have croutons as well. Croutons are bad for the digestion system, you know.
They don't eat croutons. They got no fucking teeth.
Yeah, but they just melt. It's their version of, like, you know, the skips you can buy.
Skips. Skip soup.
Crouton is the old person's version of skips.
They've got tits like skips.
Chris, what have you got for me?
I think I'd be a good teacher. I've always wanted to be a teacher. I think, especially a maths teacher. and you laugh, right? Because you're dickheads, right?
Yeah.
But it all started from, you know, with my childhood crush of Carol Vorderman. So she inspired me, you know, doing all those countdown, calculations, everything, yeah, sharp brain. And I always thought, yeah, I could do a bit of that. And, but yeah.
Turns out
I can't, to be honest with you, because couldn't even name your 4-4-2 formation. You know what I mean?
Whatever number dyslexic is.
A maths teacher. I really wanted to be a maths teacher when I was, and that's a true story because I did think I'm going to be good at maths when I grow up.
I'm going to be on the team. Gav, you count for me.
I'll be a better ballet.
Do you ever see on the telly really late at night when there's a program on and they have the little the person down the bottom doing the sign language? Grizz had that in his classroom. So while he's trying to tell you all the numbers, somebody over in the corner will be actually telling you the numbers. That's the way that is.
No, but maths is, I was fairly good. I don't know where it went wrong. I was quite good at maths. Like, I'm very good at mental arithmetic. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, because most of the answers you do give numbers-wise is fucking mental, to be perfectly honest.
And another thing, as I was growing up, I've always wanted to sort, because, you know, like, certain films I saw, like, the window cleaners and plumbers used to sort of have lots of stories to tell. Yeah, so I've always wanted to sort of, but I'm awful with DIY. I'm really, really bad. I couldn't really change a light bulb, to be honest with you. So that went out the window as well.
Could you imagine his lesson plan? Mr. Khan has got 9 Ferrero Rochers. Wallop, 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 wallop. Mr. Khan eats 7 Ferrero Rochers. How many Ferrero Rochers are left? Would that be his lesson plan?
Wouldn't it be?
Trick Mr. question.
Khan, Mr. Khan has 9 Ferrero Rochers. Mr. Khan has eaten 7 Ferrero Rochers. How long do you think it'll take for him to eat the remaining 2 Ferrero Rochers?
Trick questions galore in my class, son. Trick questions galore.
Just Ferrero Rocher wrappers anyway. My one was a jockey because I'm really small. No, genuinely, when I was younger...
A fucking knob jockey.
No, genuinely, when I was younger... A lot DJ of Selector. I was just small, like fucking still small. But
the poor fucking horse.
No,
break his back.
See, the thing that now when I was younger, I was really like light and small, and people kept saying to me, "Be a jockey, be a jockey. You're really good at it." It's not going to happen. One, look at me, and two, I'm afraid of heights. And them horses are fucking up there. Don't care what anyone says.
You'd need a trampoline to get on.
Yeah,
you know, like a cherry picker.
Yeah,
how big
do you think those horses are?
You know those mobile cherry pickers? You just fucking plant them in the ground, just leap me up onto the horse, and
away we go. Oh, shit, onto a horse.
Yeah.
The horse is looking back, thinking, "What the fuck is this guy doing?"
Good money them jockey gets, you know. That would have been a decent.
Don't.
This is great for you.
They don't eat. They're fucking all miserable.
Yeah.
They never have a scram. Bad luck, that.
I think they're not allowed to. They're not allowed to eat, are they?
No, because they've got to stay a certain weight, haven't they?
Yeah, they're not allowed to.
So they drink soup.
I'm going to be a jockey as well, because I'm not allowed to eat from now on as well.
The big soup.
You drink
big,
croutons.
Big soup. Is that big soup, Matt?
Big soup.
The big soup, yeah?
Big bits.
Yeah, okay.
Saggy bits, in your case.
I think that's us. We've covered West Ham. I don't know what we've fucking covered. We've covered most things. Look out for us, though. We will be online with a Twitter poll with regards to how me and Grizz are going to sort this way off. How long it's going to last and what the winner gets or whatever else. But I think it is genuinely
Matt,
a boxer for
air. What do these lips remind you of?
Gravy.
Gravy. Listen, we're out of here. That's been the Fat Bag 4. Talk to you next week. Over and out.